He was still pale, but seemingly composed and in possession of his faculties. The gunslinger thought he was doing quite well, at least so far. Was it possible that, in some of the deeper ranges of his mind and heart, King had expected their visit? Had been waiting for them? "You have a wife and children," Roland said. "Where are they?" "Tappy's folks live up north near Bangor. My daughter's been spending the last week with her Nana and Papa. Tappy took our youngest, Owen, he's just a baby, and headed that way about an hour ago. I'm supposed to pick up my other son, Joe, in..." He checked his watch. "In just about an hour. I wanted to finish my writing, so this time we're taking both cars."
Roland considered. It might be true. It was almost certainly King's way of telling them that if anything happened to him, he would be missed in short order.
"I can't believe this is happening. Have I said that enough to be annoying yet? In any case, it's too much like one of my own stories to be happening. Like Salem's Lot, for instance," Eddie suggested.
King raised his eyebrows.
"So you know about that?
Do they have a literary guild wherever you came from?"
He downed the rest of his beer. He drank, Roland thought, like a man with a gift for it. "A couple of hours ago, there were sirens way over on the other side of the lake, plus a big plume of smoke. I could see it from my office. At the time, I thought it was probably just a grass fire, maybe in Harrison or Stoneham, but now, I wonder, did that have anything to do with you guys?"
"It did, didn't it?"
Hetty said, "He's writing it, Roland, or was. He says he stopped, but it's called The Dark Tower. So he knows."
King smiled, but Roland thought he looked really deeply frightened for the first time. Setting aside that initial moment when he'd come around the corner of the house and seen them, that was, when he'd seen his creation. "Is that what I am? His creation?"
It felt wrong and right in equal measure. Thinking about it made Roland's head ache and his stomach feel slippery all over again.
"He knows," King said. "I don't like the sound of that, boys. In a story, when someone says he knows, the next line is usually, we'll have to kill him."
"Believe me when I tell you this," Roland said. He spoke with great emphasis. "Killing you is the last thing we'd ever want to do, Psy King. Your enemies are our enemies, and those who would help you along your way are our friends."
"Amen," Eddie said.
King opened his cold box and got another beer. Roland saw a great many of them in there, standing to frosty attention. More cans of beer than anything else.
"In that case," he said, "you better call me Steve."
8.
"Tell us the story with me in it," Roland invited.
King leaned against the kitchen counter, and the top of his head caught a shaft of sun. He took a sip of his beer and considered Roland's question. Eddie saw it then for the first time, very dim, a contrast to the sun perhaps, a dusty, black shadow. Something swaddled around the man, dim, barely there, but there, like the darkness you saw hiding behind things when you traveled Todash.
Was that it?
Eddie didn't think so.
Barely there, but there.
"You know," King said, "I'm not much good at telling stories. That sounds like a paradox, but it's not. It's the reason I write them down."
"Is it Roland he talks like, or me?" Eddie wondered. He couldn't tell. Much later on, he'd realized that King talked like all of them. Even Rosa Munoz, Per Callahan's woman of work in the Cala. Then the writer brightened.
"Tell you what, why don't I see if I can find the manuscript? I've got 4 or 5 boxes of busted stories downstairs. Dark Tower's gotta be in one of them."
Busted. Busted stories. Eddie didn't care for the sound of that at all.
"You can read some of it while I go get my little boy,"
he grinned, displaying big, crooked teeth.
"Maybe when I get back, you'll be gone and I can get to work on thinking you were never here at all."